you know that the unemployment rate in Nigeria is rising geometrically as the population increases? Unconfirmed statistics has it that thousands of graduates pass through the mandatory National Youth Service Scheme every year without the hope of getting a job after the exercise. Welcome to Career and Employability Talk with Segun Akiode.
Welcome. My name is Segun Akiode and I'm the host of a podcast, Career and Employability Talk. For first-time listeners, I like to describe myself as a born teacher, a chemical engineer turned career and employability coach. And recently, I authored a book titled Corporate Misfit, Immutable Career Lessons for Fresh Graduates. And a very interesting career journey. I read chemical engineering in a Nigerian university, but currently I'm in the human rig of human resources doing career and employability coaching. On the other side of it is that I consult for small and medium enterprises in Nigeria in the area of talent acquisition and human capacity development. This podcast is about sharing my HR-related experience with you, covering talent acquisition, HR consulting, and HR generalist. The main theme of this podcast is that without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. Now, by listening to this podcast, you would be able to draw very critical career lessons and principles which would make you make better career decisions. Some of the things I'm going to be sharing on this podcast are not head knowledge. They are things that I've learned in the trenches in the point of relating with job seekers on one side and employers on the other side. Don't forget, I help organizations to solve their talent issues. So these are some of the things that I experience on a constant basis. Two target audience this podcast is meant for: one, fresh graduate, those just about to enter into the job market. So the employability part of the podcast, some of the things we'll be sharing, either interviews, expert interviews, or sharing principles, will be applicable. And also young professionals, experienced hires will really benefit a great deal from this podcast. So two great target audience, fresh graduates and even experienced hires, young professionals, will really benefit greatly from this podcast. In few minutes, you're going to be listening to today's episode of the podcast. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you very much. See you in a few minutes. Cheers. Welcome back. This is Career and Employability Talk with Segun Akiode. And on today's episode of the podcast, I have a very interesting guest here. Few minutes you're going to be listening to him in fully, but we're going to be discussing entrepreneurship opportunities for graduates, and somewhere along the line we'll be tilting it more to young professionals, so more entrepreneurship opportunities for graduates and young professionals. And with me today is one of the co-founders of Jobberman. I'm sure Jobberman doesn't need an introduction. It's a signature brand on its own. So I have with me Opeyemi Awoyemi. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Segun. Thank you for having me on this podcast.
Okay, thank you for granting this interview despite your busy schedule. So just for the sake of introduction, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Jobberman?
Okay, about myself, my name is Opeyemi Awoyemi. I'm a father, husband.
Yeah, I know that.
But more officially, I'm the founder of Jobberman.com. And Jobberman.com is the biggest jobs website in sub-Saharan Africa. Jobberman is actually more than just a website, and we've evolved to become a recruitment platform of all sorts. Our desire is to be the name synonymous for jobs in the whole of Africa, and that's exactly what guides our vision and mission today.
Okay, I think I should congratulate you. It's not news anymore about the One Africa Group maybe buying into Jobberman. I know it started like a small dream. I can remember far back 2009 when this whole thing happened. I think you were in school then, right?
Yes.
You were in IFE, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's interesting. We're talking about entrepreneurship opportunities for graduates. Can you just take us through a little bit about that story? Just cut short. Students founding a company that today has gone through many valuation and many buy-ins, and it's become a big name now. So how did that journey go? Because I'm sure that's an interesting story that most individuals would be willing to hear.
Well, I guess I'll just kind of touch on a few snippets of the journey that would say would be common with pretty much every success story that started from being in college or started by a young graduate. And it basically started with us having an idea that we believe that could touch on hundreds of thousands of lives. And even though we're not experts at HR at that point in time, we believed that we had the opportunity to start something and of course rely on the knowledge of experts out there.
So it was more of you seeing a need.
Exactly.
And your idea, in respect of fact, you were not waiting to be perfect at the HR part, but you were able to solve the job problem with technology.
Exactly. So it was more of us finding a need and deciding to be the solution to that problem, irrespective of the fact that we did not have the complete solutions. We went out there and of course relied on the knowledge of those that come before us to make it perfect.
Okay, so that means it was not a perfect solution at the start.
Exactly.
And there were a lot of iterations, a lot of change, tweaking, and getting to where it is today. So if you're to give, I'm sure you might have had, you know, we had the conversation in IF a few weeks back where you were talking about entrepreneurship, and you gave a very interesting scenario of young graduates are beginning to think they need to start their own business. They don't need to work for anybody. They want to be their own boss. What do you think they should watch out for if they want to go through that route? Because you could say that you never use your certificate for anything. So if a young graduate or a fresh professional is trying to, a young professional trying to do that, what do you think they should watch out for?
Well, I would say if you're trying to start your own business now and you don't want to work for anybody, I would say you've chosen a path less traveled, and I would say congratulations to start with.
Okay.
But the truth of the matter is the fact that it's not a journey for the meek or for the light hearted. Mm. It's a journey for the strong and for the brave hearted. There'll definitely be challenges, and one of the key things to watch out for is the fact that you're definitely going to get frustrated along the journey, and you need to be relentless. I think relentlessness is one of the key ingredients for success, even more than being smart or being knowledgeable. You need to be relentless, so you just to keep at it. That's one. Second thing is, even while you keep at it, don't get too egoistic, because I've told you to keep at it. When you are getting good advice from people here and there, you ignore those advice and you're like, I'll just keep on being stubborn and doing what I'm doing. I also think there's a thing line between being confident and being stupid. It's very difficult to recognize when you cross that line, but I think the best way to go about it is to have mentors that are very skilled or have achieved the same things you are trying to achieve, and feel free to reach out to them from time to time so that you can learn from them, so that they can guide you on your journey. Move very, very fast, also very important. Don't think there's still a lot of time ahead of you, and I think that's one of the biggest benefits of starting out while still in school. You're able to go through the earlier iterations very quickly, learn what is working and learn what is not working, and as such you come out and people will be wondering, wow, this guy is an overnight success, this guy is an overnight celebrity. But the truth of the matter is, it wasn't overnight. It was through lots of work that had been done early on while in school that nobody was seeing. Other thing I want to say is the fact that if possible, even while you're working on your business, get opportunities to intern at other companies so that you can see how things work, how other companies do things. There's a lot of learning you are going to learn from all these internship opportunities, and you need all the learning you can get, especially since you are not experienced at what you are doing. Like I mentioned earlier on, in our own case, we had never run a company before. We had never run a recruitment company before either. So it means what some people have spent 20 years to learn, we have to cram all that into less than 3 years and learn, which means it's a lot of effort, it's a lot of hard work, it's a lot of listening to others rather than waiting to make the same mistakes yourself. But definitely, if you're relentless, like I said earlier as well, and you follow all these principles and tips, you'll find it very easy at the end of the day to achieve your goal.
Okay, interesting. Thank you very much for that. I just wanted to ask a question. Looking back at the beginning of Jobberman, looking at the Jobberman trial, as they used to call it, were there fears at the beginning that what if this is not going to be successful? were there fears, and how were you able to conquer them at the initial stage? I'm sure at the initial stage, when you start knocking on the doors of companies, come and advertise with Jobberman, come and advertise with Jobberman, now you've grown to the point that people definitely come even without you telling them to come. So I don't know, how were you able to conquer the initial fears of maybe this idea may not work?
Well, there's a quote that says, courage is not the absence of fear, but the ability to recognize it and overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think, yes, there were fears, and we knew we were making we were taking a big bet, but all in all, it was a calculated bet, if you ask me.
So we knew,
yes. So we knew we had those fears, but we still decided to move on, move on very fast, and go on building this big business opportunity, because we saw an opportunity and we saw that gap, and we thought that yes, it could be filled, and we could be the people to fill that gap. And thank heavens, it worked quite well.
Okay.
For some other people, they might try some things and it might look like it's not working. But like I said earlier, relentlessness is something that is just that kind of gift that just takes you through, even when you're having issues in running your own business, when you've chosen to go the entrepreneurship route. But if you keep at it, you'll surely get there.
Okay, I think this is very interesting, because I don't want listeners at this time thinking that everybody says entrepreneurship is not for the faint-hearted, it's not for the guy that seems that the money is going to come from the word go. So it means you need to do a lot of hard work, then you need to keep at doing it and believe in your idea, ability to draw the line between confidence and stupidity. I think I like that. I like the idea. You cited an example while in IFE when you were talking about what do you watch out for when young graduates or people out of school, fresh graduates, come to you with an idea and say, I have a startup, please invest in my idea. What do you watch out for in such ideas?
Number one, I watch out for whether they are really passionate about the idea, such that when the rough times come, they are able to withstand and move on with it. I don't want people who just think starting a business is about coming to ask for investment. 10 years ago, most of the young people that you see that started businesses did not ask for investment. I always like to share even the story of Jobberman, the fact that yes, we've gotten investment from different quarters, but we never for once had to go and look for the investment. The investment came to us.
So it was more like
we were very focused, super focused on doing what we really wanted to do. And then the opportunities came. I look at that, and of course I look at the specific skill set or knowledge that the entrepreneur has in that space. Like I said, even in our own case, we're inexperienced, but there's a level of knowledge I expect an entrepreneur to have about the space in which he wants to play in. The level of knowledge, talking about information that is very readily available, for example, on the internet. If you want to create some sort of software that does something particular, I expect you to have understood which competition is out there doing the same thing, and what are the best practices based on what is on information that's available on the internet. If you're about to start a trade business, as well to have understood who else is doing it elsewhere, so that you can learn from what has been done elsewhere, and of course improve your own product. I don't expect people to go into things blindly and confidently. It's like walking into a pit with all confidence,
and
you're entering trouble, like you're going into hell, and you're confident, without pride and pomp.
Okay,
you walk into trouble.
Now trying to strategize the idea, now the go to market. How do you evaluate the market? I know we're in Africa, we're in Nigeria, some data may not be readily available. And I'm sure when Jobberman ventured in, they knew that, I don't know, you might have gotten some information. So when you're trying to start up an idea, how do you go now take your idea to the market? Do you think inventing another Facebook would thrive in Nigeria today? I've seen a lot of interesting ideas of people telling me they want to do a WhatsApp. Because the idea is booming. Do you think when it comes to bringing a foreign technology or a software or trying to replicate an idea that has been successful somewhere else in the Nigerian market, how do you evaluate? How do you know that it's going to really thrive?
I think when we talk about startups, for example, the whole idea of startups really started from an opportunity that you can start up to go to be a big business, but you get there faster than other big businesses have taken, right? And why is that possible? Because of the cost structure. So the cost structure of startups have to be low to start with, and I don't see that present in a lot of startups anymore. Yeah. So I would say, if you wanted to do a Facebook, the first question I'll ask you is that, how long will it take you to reach the level Facebook has reached? And there are two ways you can get there: by innovation or by spending your way through. So number one is, do you have the money to spend your way through, or are there some fools who are ready to give you their money for you to spend your way through? That's number one. And if not that, what is that innovation that you have that will help you get there, right? Same way Instagram, you know, came so close that Facebook had to buy them for $1 billion.
So that there has to be something unique about what you're
offering. There has to be something unique, and that thing really needs to be unique and sticky. Not that you are just the only person who believes it's going to work and the rest of the world does not believe it's going to work. But then if you still believe it's going to work, you might as well try it, but be wise enough to know when it's not working, or when you really maybe underestimated or overestimated your capabilities or the opportunity itself. So what I do advise startups to do, or entrepreneurs to do, is at the very basic, understand what your product is. Understand and know who is going to buy your product, how much you are making it, and how much you are going to sell it for.
And how much are you going to make from
for me?
So how large is the market?
You know, when you understand that basically, it makes it easier for you to now scale from there and get to now add other indices, other macroeconomic factors that would have to that you have to put in place, or to have to understand, right, to get a bigger share of the market, or to go to be $1 million or $1 billion business. But the very basics, understand what you are selling, who is going to buy it, how much are going to make it, and how much are going to sell it, right? I think those things are very important in business. A lot of young people don't look at that anymore. They just look at the idea and they just run with the idea. While some have been lucky so I've been able to get away with that, just having an idea without a clear idea of how the idea is going to make money. But you might not be so lucky in your own case. So I think there's always the part of balancing it. When I talk on audiences like this, I try to kind of not tell you about the wonderful stories of those few people who have made it so well.
So there's also the other side of the story that may not, so people should not see, for example, Jobberman in their big new office now and think that it was like that from the beginning. There is a timing to every idea, and there's a time of sowing the seeds and the hard work. So people do just not look at startup from the rosy parts. You know, when people talk about Instagram, nobody remembers to talk about how long and what they put in for it to be so valid at that point. They just see that means I can start an idea and foolishly think that tomorrow somebody else will put a valuation on it. Okay, so as we're trying to round up, I just want you to give a word of advice. You know, the current economic recession is telling on everything. If you were to start Jobberman in 2016, what would you do differently?
Well, if I was to start Jobberman in 2016, there is not much I would do differently, other than the fact that I would just ask myself the same questions I asked myself in 2009. So in 2016, who is the product for? How much is it going to cost me to make the product? Who am I making it for? And how much will they buy it? You get the point. I think that was just a new way of thinking about it, because what was true in 2016 is not necessarily true in 2010, or 2009 is not necessarily true in 2016. And I think it's important that for entrepreneurs or would be entrepreneurs to understand that.
So information is like the critical thing. And you don't need to pay so much to get information. It's available on the internet. It's just a Google search away. You could get all the information you need, and basically it means get your idea right, get your market right, don't wait for it to be perfect, go to market and continue to iterate until when it starts to become a perfect idea. So I think it makes me to remember the quote someone said many weeks ago, that there is a beauty in an imperfect start. And I think that's all you're summing up with the Jobberman story. So I don't know, before we round up on the episode of the podcast today, do you have parting words of advice for would-be entrepreneurs, fresh grad, young grads?
Well, I would say these days, what companies are looking for are people with entrepreneurial spirit. So even if you are going to go out there to get a job at the end of the day, I think it's important to have an entrepreneurial spirit, because entrepreneurs are those who go out there and do the extraordinary. They are those who go out there and deliver outstanding results. And I think at the end of the day, that's even what every employer wants. So even in your process and in your path of seeking for a job, learn to be an entrepreneur, learn to be a decision maker, learn to take responsibility, learn to sell, learn to communicate, learn to develop businesses, learn to relate with customers, learn to write, and pretty much learn to be a leader. I think at the end of the day, you'll be better for it, whether you end up being an entrepreneur, starting your own business, or whether you end up working in an organization.
So basically, it's not a function of you looking for money, it's a function of you creating the money via the value you add to the workplace.
Exactly.
From it's more like, if I'm trying to sum everything up, it's more like internal coming out. Be a leader, be able to add value, be able to be entrepreneurial in your thinking, create valuable stuff, be innovative in the way you solve problems for organizations, because the same way that can be transferable skills even in your own personal business if you choose to go that route. So
exactly.
It's not that I think many people see entrepreneurship as sitting down in an oval office, your legs on the chair, on the table, and you're looking out through the windows and waiting for the money to come. I think they forget the fact that you need to roll up your sleeve and get to work.
Yep.
That's important. So thank you very much, Al, for coming on the podcast today. Parting word, any big thing from Jobberman this year?
Well,
should we watch out for?
We should be looking forward to some real big events.
Okay.
And of course, our placement service. We should be rolling out to the general public very, very soon.
Okay.
Watch out for that.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is your host, Segun Akiode, signing off for today's episode of Career and Employability Talk. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Career and Employability Talk with Segun Akiode. To know more about Segun Akiode, follow his Twitter handle at Segun Akiode, at SegunAkiode, or visit his website www.segunakiode.com. See you next time.